I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers, and you know what makes me mad? When insurance companies deny your claim for no good reason. That's why people call me. I'm the lawyer insurance companies don't want to deal with. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Weekly Podcast, delayed by one day because last night I was flying home from Washington, D.C. to see the game, and I took that in with my fellow clout demon, Harsh. Harsh,
what's up,
recovered?
Man?
Has the clout faded for you?
Honestly, I feel like I was in a daze for the entire day. Like, yeah. I think partially from fatigue from the previous day, but also just how wild of an experience that was, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I both come from not necessarily humble backgrounds, but like nothing like that, really. So to have to see it put together like that, shout out Air Canada for, you know, treating us, you know, to that flight. And just honestly, like everything was great. We got flown down to Washington to see the game. And outside of the second half, which was obviously very depressing from the Raptors standpoint, it was a great experience. But yeah, let's focus on that game.
All right, let's do it.
Bro, what happened? It was so good, man. We were feeling good. Did you feel any stress at halftime?
Nah, man. Look, at halftime we were in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. We didn't go. We weren't in our seats for the start of the third quarter.
We were busy catching up with people, trying to buy drinks.
Yeah, we were hanging out with some people who were in the city and stuff. Shout out to Shankar Sivanathan.
Shout out to Yogi.
Shout out to Yogi. Shout out to Aditya. We met some people.
Mina.
And we were going to take our sweet time getting back because, you know, it was what, 50-41 at halftime.
Yeah.
The Raptors were clamping down on defense. They played really well in that first half.
Yeah, definitely.
And then to start the third quarter, like, I guess with OG getting injured at the end of the first half and him looking kind of sluggish, the Raptors still started out with like a 14-point lead. They hit a three to start the third quarter, and then the wheels just started slowly coming off. But I don't. It's rough, man. They definitely choked that one away. Because I feel like I was telling somebody this. I thought they were better for like, I don't know, 24 or like 30 minutes of that game. Mm-hmm. 35 minutes maybe. Like they were thoroughly better for most of that game.
Yeah. Yo, I mean, like, I think that's probably one of the most depressing things about, game four was that, like, Washington didn't even really play that well, right? Like, man, like, we spent the entire first half clowning about how John Wall just kept missing layups. Like, that play where DeLon Wright, like, blocked him one-on-one in transition. That was, like, and then, like, John Wall tried to put it behind the back. DeLon didn't move. John Wall tried to put up the layup. DeLon, like, blocked his shit, and then, I think the Wizards got the rebound, and then Pascal Siakam got the block after they tried to go for a putback, and then Siakam goes the other way and like hammers one over Yama Himni, and they had to call a timeout. Like that was drugs. That was pure drugs. What happened there? But it felt like the Raptors couldn't get out of their own way. You know, like defensively, it looked to be everything was solved in the first half. Everything was chill. It was cool. You know, Dwayne Casey was making good substitutions, you know, in terms of, I mean, I don't know what good substitutions, but like every time I was like, we need to cut this guy in, like suddenly it would magically appear 100 feet in front of us. Like it would just be like, all right, cool. Pascal's going to be in the game or Jakob's going to stay in the game or whatever. But everything was solid defensive in the first half, just the second half, man. Like they gave up the lead really quickly, which, you know, that happens. Like a lot of teams make third quarter pushes, especially at home, especially teams with pride and teams with talent like Washington. But like that fourth quarter was just shameful, man. It was shameful. We had every opportunity to win that game. When Bradley Beal got that call, like it was very furious in the arena. And like I remember turning to you and Faisal and I was like, "Yo, we got this." And we did not got this. DeMar did not got us. DeMar, yeah. What happened, DeMar?
It was just I just feel like it was a failure all around, really, man. Cuz I think first of all, I thought that Jonas got a bit too quick of a hook in the second half. Mm-hmm. I think Jakob played like 16 straight minutes? Like how much did he play? Like he was in for almost the entire fourth quarter and a little bit of the third quarter. Like that's a lot. It's a lot, especially considering that the combination of Ibaka and him have never been all that effective.
Right.
And then Ibaka was asking for a substitution.
Yo, that's the craziest thing.
I don't know if they caught it on camera. Like, I don't know if the cameras for the broadcast caught it, but this man was legitimately asking for a sub with like 4 minutes left in the third quarter. And Casey just left him in, just like kept riding him out. And the lead just kept dwindling. Like at that point, we were up like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And the third quarter ended 80-80. Like that, it's small things like that, man. It's just like, why are we doing stuff that we haven't done all season? Like, look, I get it that one injury can throw your rotation out of whack. And I can totally understand that Fred VanVleet getting hurt is a problem just for them to kind of plug the next man in the rotation.
Yeah, for sure.
But the Raptors are legitimately playing lineups that they've rarely used this season now. And it's just like, why are we doing that? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Like, when have we seen Jakob play that extended of a run? Unless it's in, like, a blowout that we're winning by, like, 30.
Yeah. Or if, like, just seeing Jakob play with Serge, that didn't make no sense. Like for most of that game, it looked like, all right, Dwayne Casey wants, like, as good and as sure of defense as he could get from the centers, and JV wasn't giving it to him in the first half. And really, like, I don't blame Dwayne for like not playing JV much in the first half, because JV will come in and like the Wizards would score like 4 straight baskets and even take him out, right? But like in the second half, when the scoring wasn't going, like, yeah, you probably can use your center in there, who's arguably your second best, he's your second best half court scorer. Like, he's better than Kyle Lowry is at this point. We've seen what Kyle Lowry does in the half court. He's opportunistic. If the defense just like relaxes, lets him drive into the paint, he can't attack Gortat. Like, even switches. I mean, we could talk about Lowry in a second, but like, you know, like Dwayne just wanted to have good center defense. But then like, if you want that, then you shouldn't have Poeltl and Ibaka. You should have them split time. And like, I felt like Dwayne rode Ibaka way too long in the third quarter. Like, you know, like we both noted this, like, he got tired. It was like 5 minutes left too. Like, it was a long time, and he didn't even come out until like 1 minute left. And then,
dude, they had the under three timeout, and we were both like, okay, at least he's gonna come out after the time. But he was back in.
Yeah, that was cool. It was so crazy. And then meanwhile, during that stretch, Ibaka had like 2 rebounds where like the ball was just hovering in front of him, and the man just refused to either. Okay, you could do one of two things: grab the ball. Or you could box out so that, like, the ball can roll out. You can't just stand around and do nothing, man. Serge, bro, what are you doing? And then, so then Serge played that whole, like, 11-minute stretch. And then all of a sudden, like, Poeltl came in and played. And then even when Poeltl got his fifth foul, it was like, all right, yeah, you know, Siakam's going to come in for Poeltl. And, you know, you're going to have Siakam Ibaka. That never happened. Dude, he just kept rolling with Poeltl.
Yeah. There was just a lot of strange decisions, like, even despite all that, the Raptors were comfortably ahead, like, at various points. Like, remember, like, even though the Wizards tied it up at 80-80 to end the third quarter, the Raptors scored the first 6 points of the fourth quarter. Like, they went out to an 86-80 lead.
Yeah, they survived those minutes when John Wall and Bradley Beal, like, I was a little bit surprised to see them both on the bench, but it was very clear that Brooks was going to say, I'm going to try to survive 3 minutes and then, like, make one hard push with both my stars. And the Raptors actually did extend the lead during those, like, couple minutes they sat. I mean, yeah, John Wall came in, like, a minute later and Bradley Beal, like, 2 minutes later. But, like, I don't know, man. It was just weird. I think it's just, like, you know, we're talking around it, too. But, like, the fact that DeMar just wasn't making the right reads, man. Like, there was a stretch in the third quarter where it was just like, bro, what are you doing? Like, the jumpers he was taking, he weren't sure of them. Like, it's a difference. Like, I know a lot of people, like, harp on, like, the mid-range shots or whatever. The mid-range shot can be a really good shot for DeMar if he's, like, in rhythm and he's in space and the defense is playing him, like, you know, how the Raptors play John Wall. Like, all right, if that shot is wide open, you got to take that shot, especially if that's going to affect how the defense plays you moving forward. DeMar never got any of those shots. DeMar just kept going to the free throw line. In the first half, it was crazy, right? He was going to the free throw line all the time, nonstop. Wizards fans were like, were crying nonstop, except there was like 6 of them. And then like second half, bro, like he wasn't getting any of those calls and he wasn't getting any space and he just kept driving into traffic. Him and Lowry driving into traffic, falling over, and then the Wizards would just come back in transition and semi-transition, like turnovers and bad shots just fueled the Wizards offense. It wasn't like the Raptors had that much issue guarding them in half court, man, which is kind of how it's been like for the most of the series. Like, unless Mike Scott is like prime Dirk Nowitzki like, you know, the Raptors haven't had that much issue defensively in half court where it was like, okay, look, there's just one play they just can't stop at all, right? It's just like they make these errors, like just mind-boggling errors. And again, you got to go back to Serge, bro. That play when he finally grabbed that rebound and kicked it ahead, when we just passed it straight to Ty Lawson, like, bro, what are you doing?
Oh, man. And, like, you know, those are potential, like, four-point swings. And even worse was the other one that we keep talking about, like, we kept talking about it yesterday, was when we generated a tough turnover.
Yep.
And then DeRozan was basically in a three-on-one situation.
Yep. Oh, my
and
God.
And I guess him and Serge are not on the same page. Serge is trying to cut back to the corner. DeRozan thinks he's cutting to the basket. And they throw it out of bounds. And it's just like... Like, those are really bad mental mistakes. And, like, even in the first quarter, like, I think this was, like, the second or third possession where OG and Serge were in transition because OG got a really nice steal.
Yeah.
He picked Wall's pocket, and it was a Serge and OG two-on-one, which, again, I guess is not the two-on-one that you want.
Okay, but still, two-on-one, you should score.
You should really score that. And, again, Serge fumbles it, and it's just like – If you count up the number of times, again, and then I can think of another play in the fourth quarter when DeRozan, like, rightfully finds the lane in the basket when, finds the lane to the basket when they overplay him for the switch.
Mm-hmm.
He has that little floater thing that he always hits.
Yeah.
But he ends up missing that layup or whatever, and then John Wall just comes on the other end.
It was like an air ball, man.
And, like, hooks up with Otto Porter for an alley-oop or whatever. Yeah. Kyle Lowry missed the layup, like, front rim. Like, these are, again, and look, the Wizards have missed their fair share of layups and stuff, too. But it's like, for the Raptors, I felt like we were making way more egregious errors in yesterday's game than they were on us. Like, really, really bad plays. Remember when Serge threw it, like, directly to John Wall, like, on when he was swinging it around the perimeter?
Yeah.
It's just, like, those are like, almost inexcusable turnovers. Like, I can get it if you get, like, stripped or whatever. You get stripped while cutting to the basket. Like, at least I can somewhat understand that. You make a bad read, somebody, like, jumps the pass or whatever. I can understand that stuff, but, like, These are like basic turnovers that we were making, and they were all leading to baskets. Because really, like you said, the Wizards, they're feasting on us in transition and on turnovers, and we can handle them in the half court. Like, we're not doing a bad job.
Yeah, I think our half court offense is actually, generally speaking, obviously outside of this one, this is Raptors' worst offensive performance of the series. Like, generally speaking, the Raptors' half-court offense has been fine. It's been pretty good, actually. But it's just like, man, when we let him go in transition, it's legitimately hard to stop because you give John Wall space to accelerate into. It's one thing if he's, like, standing around on the perimeter, then he tries to, like, burst past Lowry or whoever. By the way, Lowry can't guard John Wall, man. Lowry just can't guard John Wall. We need Bradley Beal. We need Lowry and Bradley Beal and OG on Wall. I mean...
Yeah. That, and we talked about that all day yesterday. Like, we're basically, like, trying to figure out why isn't OG basically just glued to John Wall at this point? And I guess, there's fatigue involved. There's maybe injury. I don't know what it is, but clearly the best matchup for the Raptors is DeMar on Otto Porter.
That one's been fine.
Otto Porter hasn't done shit. OG on John Wall, because at least his length and strength can bother John Wall a little bit.
Yeah. The whole thing is, like, you just need someone, like, because, like, Gortat's going to hold you on the screen, but eventually he can't hold you for the whole possession.
Yeah.
Eventually you're going to burst through, and you're going to have that length that you need to use to contest that shot a little bit. And, like, it's, from what I've seen, Siakam and OG have done a better job of disrupting that mid-range shot from Wall than Lowry has. Because Lowry's just, like... Lowry looks like a tiny little baby out there, man.
I honestly, in that matchup, I don't even think Lowry on Wall is the biggest problem. I think it's OG on Beal. Because the only thing that I've seen OG struggle with when he's actually playing well is fighting through off-ball screens and, like, finding one of these shooters who, like, battles through, like, 20 screens and, like, tries to get open. Like, that's the only weakness I've really seen in his game. Like, He's good against guys like Harden, where they're just ball dominant and they want to dribble the air out of the ball. Like, he's fine against those guys. Right. It's when he has to fight those shooter types. And that's what Lowry's really good at. Lowry's like a jitterbug who, like, fights through every single screen. So I feel like that's the matchup that they need to stick with as much as possible, but I don't know. We'll see. Mm. I thought, to be fair, man, I thought, like, even Dwayne Casey, like, yeah, their defense kind of fell apart, but I thought there were some nice, they sprinkled in some nice things there. Like, I thought Siakam was awesome on John Wall.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, I think John Wall maybe thought that Siakam didn't have the foot speed to stay with him or something like that, but Siakam was with him the whole way.
Yeah. I mean, I can honestly, in the half court, they hurt JV, cause like, they hurt JV. That's just flat out, like, it is what it is, right? And then they also hurt CJ Miles. Like, for a while, like, Kelly Oubre was driving straight through CJ Miles. But bro, what is wrong with CJ Miles? Why can't you just play defense? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Just stand still. Don't let the person run through your body. He's like a ghost.
It's really bad.
He's like a passive membrane, man.
Dude, like, you know how teams like try to find the one weak point or whatever, but okay. For the Raptors, I don't think the Raptors have been feasting on Ty Lawson that way.
No.
Like, it's like obviously defense happens as a team, like maybe there's help involved or whatever, but like for the Raptors, like on defense, like Doug, they were running isolation plays for Kelly Oubre.
Yeah. And it was working. The man got an and one driving through CJ Miles' body. It wasn't even a play. He just decided to drive. And CJ would just stand there with his hands up. And then after he gets called for foul, he's like, what, me? It's like, yeah, you, dog. If you just held your position, you wouldn't have committed this foul or give up this basket, man.
And it's just like, and another one of the things that's been frustrating is like, if you're secondary and tertiary scorers, not secondary as much, but like if you're third option, potential guys who could be the third option, like CJ Miles or DeLon Wright or Serge Ibaka, are going to be complete non-factors on offense. Like CJ Miles, like you got to do something on defense, or like you got to make
seriously, bro.
Like you, if they're going to overplay you that much on offense, like something, some kind of cut or some kind of the screener needs to like dart to the basket or something needs to come of that. Like,
right.
If they're overplaying shit, something else has to be opened. You know what I mean? Like, it can't just be like, oh, great. They bailed out and did everything they could to stop this one action. Something else has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, it shouldn't be that hard because Washington is actually focusing on CJ Miles. The reason CJ Miles is going 2 points on four shots is the fact that the more important thing is that he only had four shots in 21 minutes. So like CJ is a gunner, right? Like usually CJ will have four threes, a point attempts in 21 minutes, if not more, maybe six or something like that. He's been shooting them like crazy, but Washington has been selling out entirely to defend him. Sometimes like off a screen, like both defenders will jump towards him and just ignore the screener. And in those scenarios, if you see that that's what Washington is doing, send that guy to the rim, or maybe set two screens and then, you know, whatever, send one of those guys to slip towards the rim, something. Like, you should be able to leverage that defensive attention into something. But I mean, like, we're also talking about the fact that, like, you know, DeMar, bro, you can't shoot this much. You just can't. I don't care you have 35 points. You can't shoot 29 times, shoot 18 free throws, and have four turnovers. That's so many possessions used, man. He had a usage rate of 46%.
Yeah. And I think like it's weird.
I miss so many layups.
Look, my only thing is this, man. Like, I think a lot of people have been mentioning all same old Toronto, and I get that. I get that their offense kind of got bogged down towards the end of the game. But I would still contend with this.
Yeah.
When things have gone bad for Toronto in previous series, like against Miami in game 1 and 2, or against Indiana for like the first three games of that series.
Yeah.
Or against Milwaukee last year.
Down 2-1.
They legitimately looked like they were getting outplayed every single game almost. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas games like this, like I thought game 3 they got clearly outplayed. That's not even a question.
Sure.
But
yeah.
But yesterday I thought they were like, they played well enough to win that game and they choked the game. Like that seems like a different formula for a loss than I've seen in previous years. You know what I mean? Like, remember game 1 against Miami where Lowry hit that prayer 3.
Mm-hmm.
We had no business being in that game.
We had like 80 points going into overtime, man.
We had no business being in that game.
Yeah.
Same with, I remember Brooklyn when that first series of this era that we had. Game 7, I remember feeling like, how is this a 2-point game?
Yeah. They've
been like consistently ahead the whole way through.
Yeah, we even had that crazy Terrence Ross deal to even set up a chance to.
That's what I mean. It was just like, yeah. How are we even, like, in these games? Like, I don't feel the same way about this series. I feel like, yes, sometimes it feels like John Wall's talent and Bradley Beal's shooting is, like, overwhelming and something that we can't really, really beat. But I think we've played well enough to be up 3-1 at this point, and it sucks that we're not. But, again, that in and of itself is a new problem for the Raptors. So I still say, yes, it feels similar, but it is a little different.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the experience of leaving that arena and walking towards our bus?
Yeah.
Or even being on that bus? Because we had talked a lot of shit. We had I had talked a lot of shit. But I mean, like, you know, why not? You're in enemy territory. You got to talk some shit. You know, that guy in front of us with that John Wall Kentucky jersey, he was so pissed. Like, his fists were clenched. Like, we got like, kids were angry at us. You know, we weren't swearing or anything. We were just, like, laughing. And I say we, but it was mostly me. I just don't want to, you know, single myself out. But we had talked a lot of shit. Before we got on that bus, we were like, we told them, like, John Wall, you know, like, can't build a wall without bricks or whatever. And, like, you know, we're going to come back 3-1. This is going to be the last Wizards game of the season at home. And I gotta give credit to Wizards fans, man. They really turned up in the fourth quarter. I think they're a little bit front runners. Like, they really respond to Beal and Wall and what they do for the crowd. Like, you know, they got antics. I kind of understand that. Like, it's not really, they take on the personality of their stars, right? Like, a little bit like in Toronto, right? When our stars start, like, tightening up, we're not like, go Raptors, you can do it. We're like, oh my God, what are you doing this again?
Yeah, whereas like, shit.
Yeah, seriously, that's really the atmosphere. And by the way, if you go to Game 5 in Toronto, that's going to be the atmosphere. You're going to be like clenching your butt the whole time, as Zach Lowe likes to say. But like, for Wizards fans, it was just like, man, if John Wall and Bradley Beal make a big play, they're going to start screaming. They're going to be loud for the next two possessions. Doesn't really matter if the Raptors hit a shot. Like, they have the same exuberance as Wall and Beal do. And so, you know, after the game, like, we were getting trash talked up and down the street. Literally up and down the street. We were getting trash talked in the street. It was very easy to find us.
Yeah. But to be fair, man, I thought, like, not much of it was, like, malicious or, you know.
Yeah.
I never felt like it was like, oh, shit, this is weird or whatever. I mean, it was all in good fun. Mm-hmm. So I'll give him credit for that, too.
Yeah.
Like the usher for our section.
Oh, dog, we got roasted by the usher, man.
Yeah. Yo, the usher for our section, he was at halftime when we were walking by him, he's like, we're going to come back, man. I'm telling you, we're going to come back. I'm like, man, I'm already stressed. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know, like, I feel like, considering what a fun trip it was,
and this
was all, you know, covered for us, we got to fly out to see a road playoff game for our favorite team, like, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was literally like a dream. I don't know necessarily why, like, you were also having the same dream with me, but also, like, you know, it was cool that you were there, like, it was great. But yeah, I mean, it was like a weird shared Raptors dream of just like, honestly, everything was perfect until the second half. If the Raptors had won that game,
I can't even imagine the flight back and the bus ride back and shit. Oh, man.
Bro, oh, man. The amount of shit talking, we'd just see people in the streets and, oh my God.
Yeah.
Talk about Javaris Crittenden. I mean, like, you know, all sorts of.
Boy.
Talk about Michael Ruffin.
Talk about Andre Black shitting in someone's shoe.
Dude.
Andre Blatt really shat in someone's shoe.
No, that was Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, was that Gilbert Arenas?
He shat in Andre Blatt's shoe, yeah.
Okay, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, but I always wondered, like, what did Gilbert, like, how did he do it logistically? Like, did he put the shoe underneath his ass and shit directly in, or
he probably took it to the bathroom.
He took the shoe to the bathroom and he shit it into the
shoe. I think that makes more sense.
Because, like, I mean, maybe you just, like, shit on, a piece of paper and towel and then you're like, yeah. This is more controllable, right? Like,
disgusting.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we got shit talked a lot on the street, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. People were looking at us. We're just like, yeah, you know. Sometimes you gotta take your L and go home. And literally, we took our L and went home. But no, yeah, seriously, it was a phenomenal experience, though.
Yeah. That we were basically like trying to justify. We were battling our own emotions because we're like, God damn, this sucks. But then we're also like, being fed with like Haagen-Dazs and shit at like 11:30 p.m. We're like, how can you really be mad?
Exactly. I know we sound smug as hell right now. People are probably like, yo, these guys are assholes. Yeah. But I mean, like, seriously, it really does put life in, like, things into perspective, right? Like, it was such a good experience. I was like, we choked this game and it was awful. But at the same time, life's pretty good, man. Pretty good. And I think that's like, bag. Oh yeah, we got a whole bunch of like free swag and stuff, like got a scarf, like all sorts of like a wallet. Anyway, but you know, I think that's probably like a lesson though. Like, I think eventually all Raptors fans that, you know, can keep doing this can, like, they just kind of, you just kind of have to have that, like, separation between I've had a good day and the Raptors have had a good day. And if the Raptors have a bad day, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to have a bad day. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a good day and the Raptors had a bad day, you should still ultimately have a good day at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, like,
yo, I have a tip. Really, I have a tip for people.
Yeah.
Avoid social media for like 2 hours after. You know?
Yeah. Just wait till the next game ends.
Yeah. Wait till the next game ends. Skip the Raptors part of every NBA podcast that you listen to.
Definitely. Except for this one.
This is different because we're actually fans of the team. Like, sharing in your misery, right? Whereas, like, with, like, more national podcasts, you can kind of, like, skip the Raptors section because they're coming at it very objectively and mm-hmm. very factually, which is, like, maybe that's not what you want to hear, you know?
Oh, no. I think it's the opposite, actually. They come at it more of a perspective of, like, what Slander? Are the... there was, like, more of the, what are the prevailing storylines and how does this align with that? And so it can be frustrating because they kind of overlook the details.
Right. They don't know. They really haven't watched as many games as you. You know what I mean? So they don't really, they're not as invested in the storylines as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so just do that shit, man. It's all good. Like, and the thing is, man, look, I think the Raptors are still going to win. I think they're going to win in 6 or 7. Like, I mean, obviously 6 or 7, but
yeah,
I would still bet on them winning in 6, but I could see it going 7. I think having 2 home games out of 3 is big for us. Mm. We're just straight up better. Like, we've been better.
That's the thing, bro. If we just played with, like, if we just stop turning the ball over, even if we're just getting a crappy DeMar DeRozan isolation jumper, a lot of the times I would prefer that to, like, some dumbass jive, like, just like trash turnover that we're just like. It's like some janky shit. Like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to. They just don't turn the ball over. Like,
and then, like, DeMar falls to the ground and, like.
Yeah. Oh, man. Even Lowry was doing it, though. That was the thing. Like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, it you know, it also hurts when your supporting cast is not shooting the ball at all, man. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should be better than this. But also, I think, like, Washington have, like, changed their schemes a little bit, especially against Lowry. Lowry had, like, crazy assist numbers the first 2 games. And the reason for that was, like, you know, the Wizards were, like, blitzing him a lot, which is making life a lot easier for him. Because this year, Lowry doesn't really want to shoot or drip. Like, he doesn't want to create the shot. He just wants to pass, like, for the offense. Like, he's been more pass-oriented. And, you know, I don't think that's by surprise or by sort of, I don't think that's a coincidence either, because he doesn't really score nearly as well as he did in the past because he can't drive to the rim as much. I've been trying to say this all season. And so they were making his life really easy because he could just, like, float the little pocket pass, either over the top or sort of, you know, with a bounce pass to the big man, and they could score 4-on-3. Like, the Raptors have been doing a great job with that. There are no more 4-on-3 scenarios for Lowry. Like, sometimes they even switch. They're like, you know what? Let's see if you can score on Gortat. He couldn't score on Gortat.
Yep. He's never been that type of guy, right? Like, to absolutely blaze by someone. Like, look at what John Wall did against Ibaka today.
Yeah, it was disgusting, yesterday. Man. Dude.
Like, he'd pull it back all the way to half court. He's like, all right, I got this. Mm. And then Ibaka would be like, ah, shit.
Dude, you know what I hate about that? Ibaka would, like, stand up, realize he's on isolation, and then pull up his shorts. What are you pulling up your shorts for? He pulls up his shorts, and then he just fouls John Wall. Like, that's not, don't do that. Don't pull up your shorts, man. At least do the CJ thing and be like, oh, I fouled? What, me? I played no defense and I fouled?
That's like when those gritty white college point guards, like, slap
yeah,
the floor.
They slap
like,
the floor.
What are you doing? You play for fucking Cleveland State.
Dude, when they slap the floor and then go into zone, woo!
Oh.
That's what real basketball's about.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know, man. I mean, I think, yeah, a lot of the adjustments are pretty much the Raptors are going to look at themselves on film, and they're going to realize that, I mean, game 4, I thought was, the fourth quarter was a different issue than the previous couple of games. Like fourth quarter was really did stand out as the Raptors like choking and falling apart. But exactly, for most of the part, the reason the Raptors didn't even have that game wrapped up in the fourth quarter was because they kept turning the ball over. And like they have to realize that yes, Washington's gonna gamble a lot, especially John Wall. John Wall's leaving his man easily, and I think that's also a part where it hurts with not having Fred, because John Wall can leave DeLon Wright because DeLon's not going to shoot as much. Even though DeLon has shoot well, it's still not someone you cover like you would cover CJ Miles or whatever. And you know, like, the Wizards are, I don't know, physical. They're really physical. And the Raptors don't play well against physical defenses. I mean, no one plays well against physical defenses, but especially not the Raptors, because we're kind of small and we don't really exert ourselves physically on against a physical defense in a way that, like, you know, Philadelphia would, or even Cleveland would to some extent.
You know, honestly, I'd like to see Dwayne kind of stick with rotations that we've seen and rotations that have worked.
Okay.
Like,
but,
I get
that's kind of the playoffs, though, too. Like, from his perspective, I get it. Like, you get punched in the mouth in the playoffs, and you got to invent something on the fly.
I don't know.
I don't know if inventing something on the fly is Puerto Ibaka or, like,
that's what I mean,
Lorenzo
man.
Brown and his headband coming into the game. Like, I don't know about that, but.
Nah, but to me, it's like, look, if John Wall's playing 43 minutes a game, like 3 weeks off of knee surgery or whatever, right? Or 3 weeks after coming back from knee injury. Like, clearly with Van Vliet out, you need to ratchet up Lowry's minutes. Like, that's just what needs to happen. Like,
But Lowry does get gassed, too. Like, look at how tired he was in the fourth quarter, man. There's one drive where he just drove towards Gortat, kind of got to the rim with a slight edge, although Gortat's taller, so, like, I don't know if he could get that shot off. And he just, like, fell. And I'm like, bro, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more JV, like ride that out a little. Like, because I still feel like his screening ability is missed, right?
Yeah, for sure.
If they're going to switch everything, you need a big there who can really take advantage of a mismatch and create one of those four-on-threes, because somebody else will have to help. Like, there are ways to create that. I would potentially like to see OG get some fourth quarter minutes. Like, there's things.
Yeah, why does OG not play in the fourth? It's kind of crazy, because he's really integral to their success in the first and third quarters, and even some in the second. The man does not play in the fourth quarter. It's weird.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously because Dwayne likes to have those three ball handlers. He likes to play Larry, DeRozan, and another ball handler. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but if Van Vliet's out, like.
No, but I'm just saying, like, why don't you just downsize? Like, you could put OG at four, and you could still have DeLon out there.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's something else you could do. There are ways to work around this, right?
Yeah. Like,
and I anticipate we'll see some of these things, but again, it remains to be seen. Like, I still think we're better. I think we'll win in six, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, they have There's no more margin of error. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, and I totally get why people are worried. Like. You know, John Wall, the other thing that we kind of talked about was, you know, with John Wall and Bradley Beal, especially John Wall, there are times where he just looks physically and in terms of athleticism, there's like a level there that it feels like our guards don't have, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, he can kind of control and dictate how this game is going to go. Cause if he chooses to attack, there's nothing we can do. Right? And there's very rare scenarios where it feels like that. Like, even with DeRozan, as good as he's become in terms
of
an individual.
Tell me he's not athletic again, please.
No, it's not even that. I'm just saying, like, the reason that he's so good now is that he's kind of mastered footwork and he's crafty and he has all this guile and all that shit, right? Whereas John Wall is just, you know, this Westbrookian athleticism that he has.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't really have that. Like, Lowry's a 6-foot guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely seems like Washington has had the top player in the series. John Wall has undeniably been the best player in the series. And then, like, DeMar and Beal have narrowly edged each other out, although Beal in the last two games has been phenomenal. But, of course, you know, DeRozan had a great game, too. So, you know,
and Lowry
that
was
debatable.
Game one and two.
Yeah, Larry was great in game one and two, but I thought that was situational, right? Like, they changed up their defense against him, and now it's harder for him to get looks and stuff. I know he's hitting threes. Like, he looks like he's doing everything and it's okay, but it's just like the rest of the team isn't as engaged. And as a point guard, your goal is not just to get your own looks. Your goal is to get your team involved. And that's something where John Wall manages to stay aggressive and attack a defense while also, like, creating for his teammates, right? Like, you never feel like John Wall's gonna force a shot unless it's the fourth quarter, and then John Wall definitely forces shots. It's actually so funny to watch him. I want to slander him so badly because he's not like he's... Anyway, well, you can't say anything against him right now, man, though. The guy's he's killing us, so you can't say anything right now.
Next series.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. We're going to win. Don't worry.
He's had 14 assists, 9 assists, 15 assists.
Yeah, he's controlling the game at this point. Like, he's really the guy who's totally dictating the pace and the control of the game. And it feels like we're better. Like,
I know, man. Like, but I mean, also, like, without Fred, like, it does hurt us, man. Because Fred would be playing a lot of these scenarios, and he's just not... He's not here, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, Fred's a guy on your bench. Like, you can't be the 8th seed and collapse because you lost a guy on your bench. That's ridiculous. No one's trying to hear that.
Yeah, you meant 1 seed, but yeah, like, you can't be the 1 seed. Who's your undrafted sophomore? Like, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Like,
it doesn't matter how many profiles have been written about this man. The most profiled man in the NBA. He got way more profiles than LeBron this year.
Yeah. It's an interesting guy. Bet on yourself, man.
Bet on yourself, eh?
His agent's working overtime.
Does he even have an agent? I thought his agent was Andy Miller, who he held, remember how that report came out of, like, all the players that, like, borrowed money or whatever from their agents, and Fred, like, held, like, $1,000? Like, yo, Fred, what did you need so badly that you had to have that $1,000? Fred was like, yo, listen, I just need to buy textbooks. Like, listen, for real.
I needed haircuts.
Yeah, he definitely took $1,000 for just haircuts. It sucks, but I still think we win the series. I don't think game four is the most indicative game of the series. I still think somewhere between game two and game three is the most indicative part. And, like, we know Washington's capable, you know, whatever, but the Raptors are also very capable. They just have to, you know, not kind of lose their heads. And that goes for their two starting guys. Like, obviously last night, DeMar kind of lost in that game. Kyle didn't really deliver, especially when DeMar wasn't delivering as much. Kyle was like, nah, keep shooting the ball. And then Dwayne, like, don't go crazy with this depth, man. I mean, like, it was weird because before it was like, we can't have any old guys on the team because Dwayne will only play those guys. And now it's like, Dwayne will play anybody. So, like, just don't have anybody on the team. Like, it's weird. But.
Yeah. And look, the other thing, just win the series, man. For people is, look, man, even worst case scenario, just be thankful that we're not the Orlando Magic, the Phoenix Suns.
Bro, shout out to Sahal for leading the Orlando Magic in assists this season.
The Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, shout out to Raptors Republic's own Sahal Abdi for
3.9 assists, man.
Well done.
Put some respect on that.
And save T'Challa.
That's right. He came up huge, all right?
It's been a good year for Sahal, and he joined Raptors Republic, so, you know.
That's true.
It's been a great year for him. So, yeah, we're not one of these trash teams in the lottery every year. Like,
we're not even the Portland Trailblazers.
We got a good thing going. It's going to be fine. No matter what happened, shout out to Sean Woodley. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, I can't believe we're going that route in terms of just, like, the shout out Sean Woodley. This is going to be fine because it's so funny when he does that, but, like, it's going to be okay. But also at the same time, I get why people are upset. Like,
I just don't
want to be misled. Like, I think the Raptors are like, I think at this point, the Raptors are like Jennifer Aniston in every movie. It's like, oh man, she got her heartbroken. Like, just please let this one man be decent to her. And it's always like that man turns out to be some sort of weird scumbag. Like, always. Yep. That's always the trajectory. And then maybe she finds happiness in another man, but she's always misled at some point. And it's like that with Raptors fans. This team is just consistently misleading us, man. We're just like, please just let, it's a good person. Like, let some good things happen to this. And it just doesn't, so.
Like, we were starting to believe and now we're back here again and.
But this is what I mean. I was being cynical and I was like, man, like, we don't want to face the Wizards. Like, it's gonna take 6 games. But, like, I was really hoping after the 2 games, like, I mean, first off, we wanted to see the sweep live in person.
Houston just put up 50 points in a quarter.
What?
It was
50. Yo, what? 50 to 20. Holy crap. Wow.
Yo, what? Sorry. We could be the Timberwolves.
Jeez, I'm not gonna. Yo, Derrick Rose has leads their team in points.
Yo, 50 points. Oh
my God.
All right, they got outscored by 30 in a quarter. All right, sorry, I got distracted.
That's wild.
Jesus, man.
All right. And we thought we were the shit when we outscored Washington like 44-29.
God.
There's levels to this shit. Anyway, Harsh.
Yeah, man.
Keep the faith. We're gonna do it. Six and seven. Look, the Raptor way is the ugly way, okay? Like, just like Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston usually finds somebody, alright? We're gonna get Ross at the end of all this. We're gonna get Ross. Ross Geller. Fucking mopey ass Ross Geller. Over tan ass. Ricky Rubio looking head ass. Alright.
Alright, man. Take it easy.
Alright, peace, Harsh. Cloud Demon.
Cloud Demons.
Forever, bro. Forever.
For now.
No, forever, man. This is the start of it, all right?
Yeah.
The cloud's only going to go up.
That's true, because, yeah, that's how Twitter works.
Yeah. All right, peace.
Peace.